There's a lot of great stuff in this week's Parsha. Like there, I was going through the Nitziv and there was, I wanted to read every single one, but then I got to the end of the Parsha. And of course we have the story of Amalek, which could not be more relevant to what we're going through today as a people. And I think also individually, a lot of us are struggling with the horror that we're continuously witnessing and forced to reckon with before our very eyes. And so I figured I'm going to focus on this, on just this, the story of Amalek, because the Nitziv has an incredible and incredibly relevant interpretation of what this story was really about and what the real struggle between Am Yisrael, the Jewish people, and Amalek is truly about. So the story of Amalek happens right after the second time that Bnei Yisrael complain that they're thirsty and they don't have water. So the Parsha starts with Am Yisrael leaving Egypt. Paro initially lets them go and then starts to chase after them. The Nitziv has an incredibly interesting interpretation of why Paro changed his mind and how he had been infiltrated by the wishful thinking of the people around him and the yes men around him who mistakenly told him that Bnei Israel were running in fear, which changed Paro's perception of them. Very interesting. Again, extremely relevant to what we're dealing with today with Israel, both Israel's actual state of being and how it's seen and perceived in the public mind and how those things interrelate. So that's in the beginning of the Parsha. Of course, we have this big nes. Hashem splits the Red Sea. The Jewish people are saved. And then they're in the Midbar there. Hashem takes them through, it says he takes them through the desert because he's worried if they go through Eretz Plishim, if they go the direct route to Eretz Yisrael, that then they will want to go back to Mitzrayim. He takes them into the Midbar. And twice in this week's Parsha, they start to cry for water. And the first time the Nitziv says, you know, they weren't actually thirsty, but they were very, very worried that they were going to become thirsty. And then the second time they actually got thirsty and they, you know, complain, they cry to Moshe, we need water. Hashem makes it happen. And then it says, Vayikra Shem HaMakom Masa'u Meriva. They called the name of the place the fight, Ariv B'nai Israel, on the fight that B'nai Israel had, Ba'al Nasosam Es Hashem, and on them trying Hashem, trying his patience, Lemor, Hayesh Hashem B'kirbenu Im Ayin, is God in our midst, in our hearts, B'kirbenu, within us, or is he not? And right after that, it says, Vayavo Amalek Vayilachem Im Yisrael B'rfidim. So right after they say, is God with us or not? Amalek shows up and fights with them. So the Nitziv says on Hayesh Hashem Bekirbeinu Im Ayin, is Hashem within us or is he not? Hadavar Pele. It's really, really amazing that they could possibly say that after everything they just witnessed. Eich nistapku, how could they have doubted? Acharei ro'am amud esh ve'anan ve'od harben nisim. They had literally come out of Egypt and there was a pillar of fire and a pillar of smoke and both of them protecting them from this huge threat. Pharaoh's army, the most terrifying thing. And they were saved. How? And they saw all of the Nisim in Mitzrayim. How could they possibly still doubt Hashem? How could you possibly go through that and not be completely convinced to worship Hashem? And it already said, and they believed in Hashem u'b'Moshe avdo, and in his servant Moshe. Oh, so this is where the Nitziv gets the answer. Omnam yesh al zeh shnei ofanim tzodkim. Chada sheyadu heitev shekaes Hashem holeich imam va'osen nisim. They knew very well that Hashem for now is with them and doing miracles. Aval kol zeh eino ela be'od Moshe chai v'kayam. But this is only true for so long as Moshe is alive. HaKadosh Baruch Hu molich liyamin Moshe zroa tifarto. Hashem's glory, they thought, was connected to Moshe and not to them. That's why it said, Vayaminu b'Hashem u'b'Moshe avdo. They believed in Hashem insofar as he had a relationship with Moshe, his servant, his beloved. But they did not believe that a world without Moshe would contain the same level of protection. Ve'anu, the Nitziv says, but we, mechuyavim leha'amin, we are obligated to believe, shegam bli nisim niglim, that even without manifest miracles, HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'Hashgachaso Shoreh B'Kirbeinu, Hashem and his hashgacha, his providence, his protection of us, his involvement in our lives is within us, is in our midst, exists. Ve'al davar zeh nistapku hayesh Hashem bekirbeinu, bli koach Moshe. On that was what they were doubting. Did they have, was Hashem going to be in their midst without Moshe? U'mashgiach aleinu b'halichus hateva. Was he going to be watching over us, even in the natural way of things, without miracles? And remember that for the Nitziv, nature and hashgacha pratit, nature and providence and Hashem's intervention and existence in our lives are not opposed to each other. They are connected. The natural way of being with Jews in the world is for Hashem to exist and be part of that. What he's opposing that to is a natural order in which Hashem exists in a relationship with us and explicit miracles. Those are the two polarities in the Nitziv. And we have to believe that even in the natural way of things, even when we can't see a miracle, Hashem is still there, even though it's hard to see. It's not an easy thing. Ubishvil chisaron emunazo, but because they doubted and they had a lack of emuna about this specific thing, ba milchemes Amalek biyichud kasher yivor lefaneinu. That is why Amalek and the war with Amalek came as a result of them saying hayesh Hashem bekirbeinu im ayin. Now the Nitziv is going to be very clear. It was not a punishment. It was because they needed to learn something very specific in this encounter between the Jews and Amalek. So Vayavo Amalek, Amalek shows up. So the Pasuk says, Vayavo Amalek vayilachem im Yisrael b'Refidim. Amalek comes and fought with Yisrael in Refidim. And as a result, Moshe says, Vayomer Mashal Yoshua, b'chor lecha anashim v'tzehi lachem Amalek. Moshe says to Yoshua, because Moshe was not a fighter, he was the prophet, he was the leader, pick men and go and fight with them, go to war with them. So then it says on Vayavo Amalek, Sipas his orerus Amalek biyichud lihilachem v'Yisrael yivu'ar lefaneinu. We're going to learn why, we know why from our point of view, from the Jewish people's point of view, we needed this fight. Why did Amalek want this fight? Why did Amalek choose this fight right now? We're going to find this out in Pasuk Yudalit in a little bit. For now, Omnam Lishon Vayavo Amalek miutar. Why does it say Vayavo Amalek vayilachem in Yisrael? And Amalek came and fought with the Jews. Why didn't it just say Vayilachem? Umamikra chaserim hayakasu Vayilachem Amalek im Yisrael. What would we have lost if it had just said, and Amalek fought with Yisrael? Why did it have to say, and they came and they fought with Yisrael? Ve'imken misparish mikra zed d'shnei tvarim asa Amalek. Because they did two things. They didn't fight with them immediately. First, they showed up. And when they showed up, tchila sheba v'hivi kalon. First, they showed up and they disgraced the Jewish people. Haino shehit lotzetz mi Yisrael. They mocked the Jews. Be'achar kach higia gam lamilchama. And after that, they ended up at war with them. V'haino dichsif beparashat tetze. As it says in Parashat Tetzé, Zechor es asher asah lecha Amalek asher karcha baderech. So if you remember in Devarim, in Parashat Ki Tetzé, see the amazing thing about Shmos and Bamidbar and Devarim is in Devarim, you get to hear the story again from Moshe's point of view and you get more details. So in Parashat Devarim, it says, Zechor es asher asah lecha Amalek. Remember what Amalek did to you, baderech betzeischa mimitzrayim, on the way when you left Egypt. Asher karcha baderech. Amalek happened upon you. Karcha happened upon you on the way. Vayizanev becha, and vayizanev is a very interesting word. It's translated into English as, and they attacked you, or they cut off your tail. But also Rashi explains it as from a kind of sexual attack, that they were attacking them in a sexual way to undermine them. Asher karcha baderech vayizanev becha, who happened upon you and attacked you. Kol hanechel ashim acharecha, all of the weak ones after you. Ve'ata ayef v'yageya, and you were tired. Ve'lo yarei Elokim. It's not clear, and did not fear God. And it's not clear if the and did not fear God is talking about Amalek or if it's talking about you. Is it saying they attacked you when you were weak and they did not fear God? Or is it saying they attacked you when you were weak and you did not fear God, right? It's ambiguous the way that the Hebrew grammar is set up. So the Nitziv says, first he starts by saying, why? So this parsha of Amalek in Devarim comes also after an interesting pasuk. So he's saying, even in hearing the story for the second time, let's learn what we can from why it happens here in this pasuk specifically. And it says, right before this parsha with Amalek, it says, Evan shlema v'tzedek yiyeh lach. You should use a whole stone and operate in justice, operate with justice when you're measuring things out. So when you are in your stall in the marketplace and someone comes to trade with you and they give you a stone and you put it on your little measuring stone thing and it says, you know, okay, this is worth 50 shekels, you cannot, what they would do is they would weight it so that it would lie, so that the it would say that it was worth less than it was, so that they could cheat the person. And the pasuk says you're not allowed to do that. You must behave in your mercantile encounters with justice. So then the Nitziv asks, why do we hear the story? And so the way it goes is you must behave honestly when you are dealing with issues of business. Oh, and remember what Amalek did to you. So it's like, why? Why do we remember it right after it tells us to behave in a just way when we are engaged in business, right? It's a good question. What he says is, ha'osem mishkalos sheker, one who falsely weights their measuring, I don't know what it's called, the weighing thing, eino miderech hatava ela chisaron emunah b'Hashem. It shows a lack of emunah in Hashem. Hazan umifarnes behashgacha pratis lefi ma'asav. If you feel that you have to cheat in business, then it says that shows a lack of trust that Hashem is going to, has your back. If you are good, Hashem will take care of you. That Hashem is going to intervene in your parnasa to make sure that you make it. He's saying cheating is not just cheating. Cheating is also saying, I don't believe in Hashem. I don't believe that he's going to take care of me. So what does this have to do with Amalek? Remember that connection when they doubted whether Hashem was going to be with them, even when Moshe was no longer alive. That's when Amalek came. How could they have been doubting after seeing all of these miracles? We said there, as we just read, they doubted whether Hashem could possibly truly be in their midst through the natural order. It's the same thing. They doubted whether Hashem could protect them without Moshe. That is the same thing as when you feel the need to cheat in business. You doubt that if you're honest, you're going to make it and you're going to, Hashem will take care of you. So this is what we learn out from going back and looking how the Nitziv looked at it. So let's go back to our parsha now. And it says, Zechor asher chasalcha Amalek, asher karcha baderech. Now the Nitziv is going to have an amazing reading of this pasuk that we just read from Devarim, asher karcha baderech, who happened upon you on the way, vayizanev b'cha kol hanechelashim, and attacked all of the weak ones acharecha, after you, and you were tired and did not fear God. Now, listen to what the Nitziv does here. It's absolutely amazing. Upirish chazal milashon kirirus. He says, when it says, asher karcha baderech, happened upon you on the way, karcha doesn't mean happened. Karcha means who cooled you. Kar, cold. Kar is Hebrew for cold. Asher karcha baderech, Amalek made you cold. What does that mean? Hainu shehit lotzeitz mikol inyan hayahadus. Amalek mocked the whole idea of Judaism. They threw cold water on the idea behind Judaism, the entire religion. Ubeferish teitze, we learned in Parashat Ki teitze, bi'arnu od lashon vayizanev bach, What does Vayizanev Bach mean? Becha, sorry. Vayizanev Becha. Dehai Becha Musar. Why does it say Becha? Vayizanev Becha. Could have just said Vayizanev, and they attacked. Ela HaPirush Asher Karcha Shehikra Kama Yisrael Me'emunas Hashem V'toraso HaKadosha. They cooled some of the Jews. They turned them off of the Torah. They turned them off. They mocked it. Why are you doing this? This is such a dumb religion. This is so ridiculous. Why do you stand up for this? Why are you a Zionist? Don't you know it's racist? Why are you doing this? This is so stupid. This is so evil. You're so idiotic. You're so bad. They mocked the religion, and the Jews, some of the Jews were convinced by this, and they cooled off of it. They turned from it. They didn't like it anymore. They, oh yeah, maybe it is lame. Maybe it should, maybe it is too. Why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? The achar kach vayizanev becha, and then it says, and they attacked you. These Jews who were cooled off, who turned away from Judaism, zinev kol hanechalashim acharecha, they, the Jews who were turned off, drew the weak ones, the spiritually weak ones, after them. They were the ones. It was the Jews who had been turned off of Judaism by Amalek, because Amalek mocked them and made fun of it and disgraced them. They picked off the weak spiritual ones and made them turn against it as well. And when it says, and they fought with Yisrael, lo kimashma'o melchames tenufa. We're not talking about a hot war here. Shehari achar kach ksiv, because it says afterwards, vayomer Moshe Yoshua tsehi lachem ba'amalek. So when it says, vayavo Amalek vayilachem in Yisrael, and Amalek came and fought with Yisrael, that can't have been the war, because Moshe then tells Yoshua to go to war with them after that. So what does it mean, vayilachem? Vitu hayara oilichso vayilachem Yisrael. It should have said, vayilachem im Yisrael, kamosha kazu vayishma knani vayilachem Yisrael. Ela perush vayilachem im Yisrael. When it says they fought with Yisrael, haynu im klal hayahadus. They fought with the concept behind Judaism, the very concept of Judaism. Why? In what way? Sheratza lahasir an harbe anashim mihayahadus. They wanted to draw away Jews from Judaism. Vizehu onesh higil Yisrael shenichnesu l'safek hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu imayin. And that was the punishment that the Jews got for doubting whether Hashem was with them or not. Oh, you don't believe we're here? I'm going to send you an intellectual adversary who's going to make fun of you, and then we'll really see who believes and who doesn't. The kasavurim shemi sheino ro'oi lahan haganisis harehu kechol hagoyim beis Yisrael. They thought that if there were no miracles happening, you were just like the non-Jews. There was no difference anymore. Mishum zen and shu sheba Amalek. And that's why they were punished. They needed Amalek to come to teach them this lesson. And when it says, Vayomer Moshe Yehoshua, and Moshe says to Yehoshua, Bechor lecha anashim, choose men to go and fight against them. Ratza Moshe Rabbeinu lahar'os liYisrael, koach hashgachas Hashem aleihem, gam bli nes nigla. Moshe was very important to him that this war be fought al derech hateva, in the natural way. He didn't turn to Hashem when Amalek showed up and say, Hashem, save us from Amalek, like he did with Paro. He didn't say, Hashem, make a miracle. No, he turned to Yehoshua and said, raise an army. Because the lesson the Jews need to learn right now is that I'm not the one doing it. They're the ones doing it. That they have it. That the natural order of things is for them to ask Hashem and he will help them even without an explicit miracle. Alkein sider milchama zo b'derech hateva. That's why Moshe organized this war, that it should be fought in the natural way of things. U'basher lo notzar Moshe Rabbeinu l'kach. And because Moshe was not made for this, was not created in order to fight, alkein siva es Yoshua. So he calls up Yoshua. So of course they have this war. And they win the war by Chalesh Yoshua es Amalek. Yoshua weakens Amalek v'esamo l'ficharev with his sword in the natural way of things. And then afterwards we have, it says, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, and Hashem says to Moshe, Ksov zos zikaron basefer. Write this down to remember it by in a book, v'sim be'oznei Yehoshua, and put it in Yehoshua's ears, ki machol emcha es zecher Amalek, for I will erase the memory of Amalek mitachas hashamayim, from under the sky. So there are a lot of questions about this pasuk that I think we're all familiar with, right? On the one hand, it says, you know, write this down so we'll remember. I'm going to erase their names. Well, it'd probably be easier to erase their names if it wasn't written in a book that's going to exist forever, right? Like the classic question about Amalek. So what the Nitziv says on this, Zehainyan, ulefi hanirahu miyusar, sharei kol dvar Hashem lemoshe michsav b'sefer haTorah. First of all, there's a question here. Why is he saying, write this down in a book? The whole story is being written in a book. Everything Hashem tells Moshe is being written in the book, right? We're the people of the book. It's all in the book. So why does he say, K'sov zo zikaron b'sefer, write this down in the book? Everything's going in the book. V'gam inyan sim ba'oznei Yehoshua eino mivuar. Also, why does he say, put it in Yehoshua's ears? Aval mitchila yesh leva'er guf ha'ma'amar. But first of all, we have to answer the big question here. Ki macho emches zecher Amalek, for I will erase the memory of Amalek. Ima kavana lemalchus Amalek, if what he's talking about here is the leadership of Amalek. Al ma kavu chazal mitzvat zichira zo l'doros. Why did Chazal tell us we have to read this especially again? You know, we have Parshas Zachor. Why did this become something we have to remember again and again? Achar shekvar nimches malchus harasha zo miolam. After, right, Amalek doesn't literally exist anymore. So why are we still reading it? Can't be that it's talking about literally the kingdom of Amalek. What does it matter, even if there are a few people left? And if the purpose is to forget his name and his memory, well, that we know is impossible. Because the Torah is eternal. And the Torah mentions him. The meaning here of what Hashem will erase is the evidence of Amalek in this world. It's obvious that it wasn't for nothing that they came and taunted the Jews before this war. Obviously, they knew it was not going to be easy to destroy the Jews, to fight them physically. Amalek is, we learn, reshis goyim, the epitome of the goyim. Kadabar bil'am, ve'im kein ena kavana shehi ha'uma hayoser mutzlachas u'me'usheres ba'olam. It doesn't mean that they are the richest or the most successful. Sharei me'olam haya Amalek ki'im amlacha shpela. Amalek was never anything but a kind of, you know, lower, I mean, it really makes you think of Hamas, you know? They weren't anything special. They weren't organized. They weren't powerful. They weren't rich. Ela ha'inyan de kamo shahaya milchemes amar fel v'chavero al Avraham Avinu b'yichud kamo shenispa'er miduyak hamikra'os b'sefer bereshis. What they were, they were uniquely designed and invested in a certain kind of spiritual struggle against the Jews. And then it Siv reminds us of this parsha in Parsha's Lech Lecha, when the four kings go to war against the five kings. I remember every time I read this, I'm like, what is this doing here? We're learning about Avraham Avinu. Like, what does this add to the story? There's these four kings and they start this war against the five kings. They end up taking some of them hostage. They take Lot hostage, but it's resolved very quickly. Avraham shows up and immediately is Poda his Lot. But what the Nitziv says, I mean, actually it's the Medrash, when it says that these kings, Vayashubu Vayavo El Ein Mishpat Hi Kadesh, they came back to a place called Ein Mishpat, the eye of judgment, he Kadesh. That's the place called Kadesh. And there's a beautiful, beautiful medrash on this, which says that they came back there because they were coming for Avraham specifically. And it's like if you had a king and he has this big kingdom and he has a favorite servant, and that servant goes to live in a certain province. And suddenly the king is very invested in this province. This province gets a lot of tax money. Suddenly all the streets are, you know, the trains are running on time. All of the potholes are plugged up because the king's favorite is living here. And so he's taking care of this place suddenly. And then the king's favorite is removed. And suddenly all of the people start to cry out, "Oh, bring him back, bring him back. It was so great when he was here." And then Itziv takes this one step further. And he says, when it says, El Ein Mishpat, to the eye of justice. That's the name of this place. So in the Medrash Rabbah, it says, Ayin she'asisa midas hadin ba'olam bikshu lesamosa. The eye that brought midas hadin into the world, they wanted to close it. And what was this eye? Of course, the eye was Avraham. Because before Avraham and the Jewish people, the world was, there was a hefker to it. That Midas HaDin did not have a foothold in this world. The idea of justice, the idea that there is a difference between good and evil, did not exist until Avraham showed up in this world and started to worship Hashem. And this was a huge threat to the world and to the non-Jews, because they were used to living in a world that was a free-for-all, that was hefker, that was devoid of justice. And there is something unbearable about learning that there you have to be responsible for your actions, that it matters what you do. It matters. Like, it's not, you can't just be evil and get away with it. That there is, you know, a din and a dayan, that there is a judgment and there is law and you have to follow it. And so they wanted to close this eye. So he reads Ein Mishpat, the eye of justice, as they couldn't bear what Avraham had done to the world, which is create a foothold, a stronghold for Midas Hadin, for justice, for the idea that what you do matters and there will be consequences for it. And that's why they came all the way back to Israel, to Eretz Israel, these four kings that were fighting the five kings, not because they wanted to actually take over Israel, but because they needed to get to Abraham. Because before Abraham showed up, the world existed in a state of nature in which there was just no hashgacha at all. There was no providence at all. There was no din. There was no law. It was Abraham who created a situation in which Hashem could be manifest through the law, through good versus evil. And that's why they needed to close it. And this is why Amalek came to Israel. And here we get to the real deep thing here. So the Netziv says, so what happened there? He's talking about having Bereishis. They understood that through Avraham, justice came into this world. That there is somebody watching what you do. It matters what you do. I mean, you can't even imagine a world. We can, because a lot of us are living in cities in which this is the case now, but you know, where it just doesn't matter. You can commit crimes and it doesn't matter. And it's a horror. It's a horror to contemplate. That is what the world was before the Jews. Like, we brought into this world a foothold for Midas Hadin, for justice, that what you do matters, that there will be consequences for your actions. And this is what the fight between the Jews and Amalek is truly about. From the moment the Jews left Israel and were ready to accept the Torah, it was bad for the non-Jews. They didn't like it. The Amalek who reshis goyim hasone es ha-hashgacha tachlis sinah. And Amalek was the epitome of those who loathed the idea that it matters what you do, because they want to go there and they want to mass rape and mass murder and dismember children and get away with it. Because in their world, that's Amalek. Is it doesn't matter. It does not matter. The world is hefker. There is no justice. There's nobody watching. There's no consequences. V'hitiach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem promised, itagia hasha'a sheyimcha zecher Amalek, that there will be a time when the memory of Amalek is erased. Haino tachlis te'udaso, the evidence of his purpose. Shetihye halichus hateva chofshi b'li hashgacha l'fima'asim. The purpose, the tachlis, the essence of Amalek is that nature is a free-for-all, is totally random. It does not matter what you do. Your actions do not matter. Zeh haratzon yihi nishkach mi'umos ha'olam. This is what will be forgot, the memory that there was a time when you could do such horrible things and get away with it will be erased. Hashem will be a king over the whole land. That's what's going to happen when Mashiach comes. V'amar Hashem l'Moshe, and Hashem said to Moshe, "K'sov zo zikaron b'sefer, write this in the book." When he, like a man who's teaching his child, when he gets to something important that he wants his child to really have it rooted in his heart, his father makes sure to say to him to be extra careful. The Omer Zachor Zebni. Remember this, my son. This part is especially important. Even though he wants him to remember everything, he makes sure to show him this is an important part. This is an important part. That's why we have to remember the whole Torah. When we see Hashem say to Moshe, no, especially write this in the book. This is an especially important part. And we have to believe that this moment will come, this time will come, and that is the time of the Mashiach. And that's why he said, put it in Yehoshua's ear, whisper in Yehoshua's ear. He whispered the secret into Yoshua's ear, but whose man hakeitz shigila lo'oz, no, he told him when Mashiach is going to come. V'hamuvan shigam hu yigale l'misha ra'oi l'kach, that he can tell whoever is ra'oi to this. And I think the lesson here is that the struggle, the spiritual struggle, the cosmic struggle between the Jews and Amalek is the struggle between randomness, injustice, the powerful oppressing and harming the weak and nobody caring and there being no justice versus a world in which there is hashgacha pratit, we have providence, we know that Hashem is watching. There's a difference between right and wrong and it matters. And the thing that I took the most from this is that it's not just that what we do matters, that we represent in this world the difference between good and evil, and the fact that you cannot, there's no erasing that difference, but also that we should take heart. It doesn't matter that they can't see that today. It doesn't matter that we feel like we're screaming into the void. You can't do this. You can't justify rape. Like, it doesn't matter because it's supposed to be that way still today, because this is not the Mashiach yet. And he says, the time will come. The time will come when the Umos HaOlam have forgotten what it feels like to see the world through the lens of Amalek. But we're not there yet. The lens, the spiritual view of Amalek, that Judaism is silly and stupid and lame and that you should abandon it, that is supposed to still be here. We are supposed to still be involved in this struggle. We are supposed to still be representing justice in this world to a world that doesn't want to hear it. That's what we are here to do. Thank you so much for coming, everybody.